Shalom, and thank you for listening to sermons from Tikvat Israel, a Messianic synagogue in the heart of Richmond, Virginia. Listening to the podcast is great, but we would love to meet you in person. All are welcome, and that includes you. So if you want the full experience, please join us Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for our worship service at the corner of Arthur Ashe Boulevard and Grove in the historic synagogue across from the Art Museum. Can't make it in person? No problem. We are also live streaming on YouTube. Contact our administrator at tikvatdirector@gmail.com for the link during the week, or contact us on our website, tikvatisrael.com. There, you can also support the ministry, learn more about Messianic Judaism, and find helpful resources. May Hashem bless you through the hearing of his word.
I thought I would start off my sermon today with a little song. This is a kind of a modern-ish version of a very traditional song for Passover. What song do you think I'm going to do today? Haggadah? No, not Haggadah. Any other clues? He's appeared in our, Gordon knows because he has a copy of the sermon. Go ahead, Gordon. Eliyahu Hanavi. We're going to sing this. This is a kind of a modern version of it, but it has a lot to do with Shabbat HaGadol and with Passover. So let's see if we can look at the words as well. Eliyahu Hanavi. If you know it, you can sing with me. Eliyahu Hatishbi. Eliyahu. Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hagiladi. Mashiach ben David, Elijah, prophet man, Elijah, Gilead, Elijah, Elijah, prepare the way for the Son of Man. Okay, that's how you guys do it in your seders, right? So, as I mentioned, this is a kind of a modern arrangement of a traditional song sung at the end of the Passover Seder. Raise your hand if you're familiar with this song, if you've heard it before. All right, maybe not quite this way, but the same words, right? Okay, Elijah is closely associated to the Messiah, both in the Bible and in Jewish tradition. There is also the cup of Elijah. We noticed that in our film that Eric and I made with Josh helping, we mentioned that you can invite Elijah. He's always a guest at the Passover Seder, and he has a fifth cup. There's the cup of Elijah. So the first four cups that we do throughout the Seder are the cup of sanctification, deliverance, redemption, and praise. If the Lord has brought us out and took us to be his own people and redeemed us and all of that, what then is left? What is the fifth cup? Well, the fifth cup is the cup of Elijah, which is the consummation, the perfection of all things. So it could be in the Passover story, us entering into the promised land. This is when the Messiah comes in Jewish belief to make all things right, the consummation of all things. And in Messianic Jewish belief, it's exactly the same, but guess what? We just believe he's coming back a second time, right? In addition to the time that he came during the first century. Elijah was one of the most famous prophets in the history of Israel. He multiplied food. He brought the dead back to life, things that the Messiah would do many years later in keeping in step with a prophetic witness of Elijah. He's also mentioned often in the later prophets as connected to the Messiah, as a preparer of God's people. So what does it mean to be a preparer? Well, this week I got an email from my tax preparer asking a few more questions. You may notice that this week is after April 15th. This is because it took me a little while to get my information to him. So he filed an extension for me. So don't worry. I know a lot of you are worried about this, but it's going to be okay, God willing. But as my preparer, what is he doing? He's making sure that I'm ready. He's filling out all the forms on my behalf and looking into all the laws that we need to follow. I'm helping him by summarizing the information that I'm giving to him about my contributions and things like that. So he prepares my taxes now by asking clarifying questions. He's drawing out what is needed. He's helping me prepare. But he's not just preparing my taxes, he's preparing me for the great and terrible day of the tax day. And he has even pushed back the day of judgment on my behalf that I might have grace and time to prepare. Isn't that what Elijah has done, right? Pushed back, you know, that great and awful day of the Lord. He's dealing with the IRS on my behalf, and he's coming alongside me to help me be in compliance with the law. I think we are just about done with this analogy, aren't we? But this is similar to what Elijah did. He prepared God's people for the day of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, today is Shabbat Hagadol, the great Shabbat, named after the great and awesome day of the Lord in today's Haftarah portion, which we read earlier. It is the last Shabbat, as we said, before Passover. So what are we doing? We're preparing the way for Pesach. Here is our Haftarah portion for today that Renee read so well a few minutes earlier, but let's read it again. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great, terrible day of Adonai. He will turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of children to their fathers, else I will come and strike the land with utter destruction. On the day of the Lord, God will bring down the proud and wicked and lift up the humble. Before that, however, he will prepare us. He won't leave us unprepared by sending Elijah as a forerunner of the Messiah. He will restore families and restore generations. The rabbis saw in this not only a turning of children's hearts to their parents, but the turning of the children of God, all of us, back to who? Our Father in heaven. That's really what it's also all about. Here are the thoughts of the famous medieval commentator, Rashi. He's a rabbi. Quote, that he may turn the heart of the fathers back. And this is what Rashi says, to the Holy One, blessed be he. Rashi elaborates, through the children, literally on, he will say to the children affectionately and appeasingly, go and speak to your fathers to adopt the ways of the Lord. So we explain, and the heart of the children through their fathers. This I heard in the name of Rabbi Menachem, but our sages expounded upon it in Tractate Ediyut, that he will come to make peace in the world, unquote. Rabbi Aidan Steinsaltz gives a broader understanding of this passage. He kind of explains in between these things that we've been saying. This is what he says, quote, in the world as it is currently, unredeemed, parents and children remain distant from one another. He, Elijah, will return the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. Elijah will bring about a great reconciliation between the generations. He will galvanize the people to take advantage of the final opportunity to express remorse for their evil ways and to repent. Lest I come and smite the land with utter destruction. No matter what, God will be revealed on that day. if he finds that the hearts of the people have not returned to him, that they remain steadfast in their wickedness, the world is apt to collapse, unquote. In other words, Elijah will prepare the way for the Messiah by helping God's people turn back to God and restoring generations so that God may bring the fullness of shalom to the earth through Messiah. The New Covenant writings also pick up on this and identify, does anyone know who is identified as coming in the spirit of Elijah? John the Baptist, or sometimes called in Messianic Judaism, John the Immerser, but the same person. He is associated with the Elijah figure who will prepare God's people for Messiah. This is an excerpt from this week's New Covenant portion, which we also read a little bit earlier, but we'll remind ourselves. This is from Luke chapter 1. He will be great before Adonai, and he should not drink wine and intoxicating beverage, but he will be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh just out of his mother's womb. This is most likely a kind of a Nazirite vow. Many of Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, will turn to Adonai, will turn to the Lord, their God, because of him. That's his role. He's preparing the people. And he will go before him, before the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient ones to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready for Adonai a prepared people. So here is the summary of the Malachi text. Again, according to the rabbis, what they thought, that's also what Luke thinks is going to happen, right? So we know that it's a sure thing because it's in the New Covenant scriptures. So this brings together all of these themes, clarifies the calling of Elijah found in John the Baptist, described in the gospel we just read. He is coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, this man. So what is he doing? He's encouraging Israel to turn back to God and bringing reconciliation between generations. Reconciliation is the work of Messiah, but it is also our work to partner with him in it. This is how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Messiah and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So he reconciled us back to God, but he gave us that avodah, that ministry, right? That work to help others reconcile back to God as well. That is, in Messiah, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has entrusted the message of reconciliation to who? To us. We are therefore ambassadors for Messiah, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to God. He made the one who knew no sin to become a sin offering on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What is he talking about? He's talking about gospeling. He's talking about sharing the reconciliation work that Messiah did with others. That is our avodah. We were estranged from God, but we were brought near in Messiah. Therefore, we should do what? We should encourage others to turn to God and be agents of peace and reconciliation amongst other humans made in the image of God. That is what John the Baptist did, that is what Elijah did, and that is what we can do. So what did precisely Elijah and John the Immerser do to prepare the people, to encourage them to turn back to God? Well, let's look at a little bit of their story. The first story about Elijah is from 1 Kings 17. And what happens is he stands up to Ahab, who is an evil king of Israel, and declares, because of his arrogance and idolatry, that there will be a drought and a famine. Ahab worshipped another god called Baal, who was supposedly a god of fertility and rainstorms, right, of water. So Elijah declares a drought to show Ahab, a king in Israel, that Adonai alone does what? Controls the weather. He is in charge of the life force of water that we need, the rain that folks needed to survive. So this drought, even though it was a judgment on Ahab to try to get him to repent, it also had an effect on the poor. We would imagine that that's a natural consequence. So the next story about Elijah is this. After he confronts Ahab, where does he go? He goes to a widow, poor widow, and provides miraculous food. There's a multiplication of food for her because she's affected by the drought. He also resurrects her son from death. So Elijah, we see in this first two stories about him, what does he do? He stands up against evil, but also he shows compassion and kind to the poor and the hurting. Let's take a look at John the Baptist to see how he is preparing the people for Messiah. This is from Luke chapter 3. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came upon John, that's John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. And he came into all the surrounding region of the Jordan, proclaiming an immersion of repentance for the removal of sins. As it is written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Adonai and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled up, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all humanity shall see the salvation, or Yeshua, of God. That is from Isaiah 40 that John the Baptist is fulfilling here. Therefore, John was saying to the crowds that came out to be immersed by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruits worthy of repentance. And don't even begin to say among yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that from these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees, so that every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowds asked him, what should we do? He answered them, saying, whoever has two coats, let him give to the one who has none. Whoever has food, let him do the same. Tax collectors also came to him to be immersed. Teacher, they said to him, what should we do? He said to them, do not take more than you are supposed to. Also, soldiers asked him, saying, what should we do? He said to them, do not take things from anyone by force. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be content with your wages. So here, it's almost the exact same thing, right? John the Immerser, he's direct with those that are hypocrites, those that are proud and saying, oh, well, we're, you know, Abraham's our father. We can do whatever we want, right? The religious leaders that were full of pride. But he also directs them to show compassion to the poor and the hurting. He directs everyone to mend their ways. Understand that this is the season that we're in. We're preparing the way for the Messiah. So we have to get our hearts right. We have to get our actions right. What did he tell them to do? He told them to share their food with those that were hungry and not taking things by force. He told them to bring reconciliation and peace among humans. Wouldn't that be a natural cause of shalom and justice if they were to follow him, which is exactly what Elijah and John were supposed to be doing. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Elijah and John opposed evil and advocated for the poor and hurting, and that's what we can do. Now, we have 3 days to prepare for Passover, the day of the Lord. We have time to prepare our homes. We can sweep out the crumbs, but guess what? We can also prepare our hearts. Because when I say we're to confront evil, where's the first place we're supposed to look for evil? Right? In our own hearts. I mentioned this earlier in the service, but Yeshua said to take out the giant boulder of our eyes before we try to confront someone with a speck in their eyes. So this is what we are to do with our time in Passover, confront the evil in our own hearts and turn back to God. How have we been proud? How have we been puffed up? How have we shifted blame onto others for our own faults? How have we ignored our emotions and become dependent on things to keep going? If we're dependent on things, what is that? That's idolatry. How have we done with helping the poor and hurting and paying attention to those that are needy around us? How have we opposed evil within ourselves and evil outside of ourselves by speaking the truth in love? You know, for most of us, it's hard to speak the truth in love, to do both of those. It's hard for some of us to speak the truth, right? To just do that, to be like, to confront. And then some of us, we're good at confronting, but we're not good at confronting in love. So the idea is to do both of those, right? And that's after we've dealt with the evil in ourselves to approach someone else and encourage them to turn back to the Lord. We have an opportunity to do some spring cleaning, not just by sweeping the crumbs, as I said, but spring cleaning right here, to draw near to God, to prepare ourselves, to prepare our home, and even to help others prepare for Passover, and ultimately prepare for the great day of the Lord, the return of Yeshua the Messiah. I would like to close with this encouragement from James chapter 5. Sometimes we think of Elijah and John the Baptist as like superhuman. We could never do that. But this text deals with exactly that point and says that Elijah was not superhuman. He was a guy just like us. This is what it says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of Messiah's community and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So confess your offenses to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that the one who turns a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. So what are we seeing here? This is a kind of a summary of everything we've been talking about. It's talking about praying for others, encouraging others. If we see our brother or sister going off on a path that leads to destruction, to help them, right? To speak the truth in love, to do both of those. And to know that Elijah is not superhuman, that he's a man just like us. And so we can also pray that the effective prayer of a righteous person is very powerful, and we have the righteousness of Yeshua that is given to us. So God really does hear our prayers. So I wanted to encourage all of us with this scripture this morning. Amen. Avinu, our Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us a community where we can be accountable to one another and encourage one another and even confess our sins to one another, that we can see your redemption, see your healing, see your reconciliation. Help us to prepare our hearts and to prepare our homes and our families for Passover, but not only for the literal Passover, but to take this time to avail ourselves to prepare for your return, Lord, that we can turn our hearts back to you and encourage others to do so, and also that we can get rid of those things that are weighing us down, those idols, those things which are not pleasing to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance, Lord. It's not the fear of punishment, but it's your goodness and your mercy that inspires us to turn back to you because of your great love for us, and help us to embody that love toward others and to share the ministry of reconciliation back to you by sharing the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. And in his name we pray. Amen.